Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, and welcome to another episode of the NOLA Rundown. I am Jordan Grove, and with me, as always, Jason Bernos. Jason, what's happening with yourself?
What's up, man? What's going on?
Nothing much, man. We got some stuff to talk about, man. Saints minicamp started. We had a new Triple Crown winner. Drew Brees apparently isn't a cash money millionaire at all. So we got some things to talk about. So slowing things down a bit, Will is scheduled to join us a little later on in the show. But first and foremost, this is the NOLA Rundown. And so our concentration is New Orleans sports. And what does New Orleans pay attention to more than anything? South Louisiana pay attention more than anything than the Saints. And Jason, as we've been talking, and I saw that you've been at minicamp, so we're going to go to our foremost reporter for all things Saints minicamp. We're going to go to you directly to the news source. Give us the inside scoop of what you've seen at Saints minicamp.
Yeah, the first thing I want to say above everything is I've been going to these training camp mini camps for about 8 years now, and I told somebody else this today. This group seemed like it was the loosest, the most talkative, fun group I've seen there since I've been going to all these camps. And that's not a flight at past teams or whatnot, but this team, they were cranking up the speakers loud, like loud. And then when they're getting into their stretches, defense, more than anything, not the offense, the defensive players jawing at the offensive players as they're stretching.
No, that's
Craig Robinson.
So,
Craig Robinson is the main one, which was great. I love that he was yelling out, "Alvin!" Kamara was just laughing, smiling. And then Ingram gets up and starts doing some kind of Fortnite thing towards him. This team just seems like they're just having fun. Like, that was my initial reaction from just being out at camp.
That's everything that you want to hear out of minicamp, is that the team's having fun, they're loose, they feel good, there's no ill feelings towards anybody. But you brought up two points here that I want to talk about. The first, and I think the most important one, is what were these players jamming during practice? What were they jamming during warm-ups? What were they getting loose to? Like, I need to know these things.
Well, it was all free Meek Mill. It was Meek Mill, Dreams and Nightmares. So it was all hip hop. You can tell it wasn't Zach Lyon didn't pick out this playlist, or Nate Wozniak didn't pick this playlist. And speaking of big old Nate Wozniak, okay, so you're 6'10", and you're 280 pounds, okay. Why couldn't you just make up a fake European name and go get paid in the NBA?
Word.
But New Orleanians know that for a fact, that Mr. Osick can tell you, you can just be tall, slow, and European, and you're going to get $12 million a year.
I was about to say, like, the Pelicans are probably going to be looking for a backup center, starting center. Why don't, you know, Mickey Loomis work as a little magic? And be like, hey, go down to Erlon, and be like, hey, y'all got a 6'10" European dude? Let him come over here to the blender. Let him try out. Let him grab some rebounds from Anthony Davis and see how he likes it.
If he can catch, won't you put him at tight end? But no, this is watching him, like, he was like falling over Latorius, or whatever his name is. Let's get it right before I bash him. Yeah, Larrivas. Both him and what was there are just like tripping over each other, or tripping over just the next guy next to him. They just looked awful on in any drill. And then I could see it from Wozniak being a 6'10", you know, gentle giant, but Larrivas has been in the league for about 5 or 6 years now.
Mm-hmm. He was actually pretty good reserve offensive lineman last year. Like, I know he got to be pressed into service a couple times. You know, while the Saints were shuffling offensive line last year, I forget which games he started. I want to say he started against Carolina one game, but he held his own for a journeyman interior offensive lineman. He played about as good as you want. And so it kind of is surprising to hear that he's uncoordinated as all hell.
I mean, it might have just been being next to the rookie for the most part. It might have just been that. But, yeah, it didn't. Him or Wozniak didn't look good. And apparently we have Thor on the team. Did you know that?
I did not.
Apparently,
I'm ready to hear
an offensive lineman. An offensive lineman named John Fullington, a second-year man out of Washington State, had a very luscious, long, long blonde hair, just like Sunshine out of Remember the Titans. He'd have made you jealous, man. He'd have made you jealous.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, he's got to make the team. Another player that you mentioned, and this is like, this is my dude here. I don't know why he's my dude. I just got a soft spot for him. You said he was John with AK. I want to know, Jason, like, does Craig Robertson get too much flack from Saints fans and Saints media? Or do you think that he's, like, a pretty serviceable linebacker that you don't mind having make spot starts for the team?
But first off, there is this negative stuff coming out with Robertson?
Yeah. Yeah, like you're new to these to the Twitter streets now. You used to be on.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but now that you're back on him, you'll notice, man. He catches a lot of flack.
I tell you what, Craig Robinson is a person I would want on my team. I don't give a crap. Like, I don't give a diddly poo, just like Mr. Moore would say, about anything that they're talking about, because that man is, first off, he's your heart and soul of your special teams, first and foremost. Secondly, he's your reserve. He's basically like Kelametti was for your offensive line. Like, you have all these athletic linebackers, which if you see DeMario Davis in person, he looks like he was chiseled out of like a rock, like something out of like Greek spear. I hope he stays healthy, because he's going to be a man in that middle. He's a man. But anyways, so you keep Robinson. Robinson is your heart and soul of your special teams. And, like, he's your reserve. He's your guy. Like, there's going to have people, linebackers missing games like crazy. And he rarely misses games. Really, I don't see the flack from him. He's not as talented as the other guys, obviously, or he'd be starting and they wouldn't be drafting or signing linebackers to compete over him. We get that. He's not as athletic as the other ones. You know who other people weren't as athletic at their position, but they were valuable to Saints teams? Let's go to Courtney Roby. Let's go to Steve Gleason. I mean, players like that. They're not going to make all pro teams at their position, but they're necessary for teams like this. Just like Ben Watson, okay? He's not going to be an all pro. He's going to be a serviceable leader in that offensive room with Breeze. There's a lot of young guys on that team. And it's very, and Robinson's young, but he's been around this team for long enough where he's looked at as a leader in that locker room. And if you cut that man, that's a big loss in your locker room, or if you're even thinking about it.
Definitely. Like, I've always liked Craig Robertson. I thought the signing was great whenever we plucked them all for the Browns, mostly because you've seen other teams pick Browns players, and they've gone on to do pretty damn good somewhere else. So I thought that was
DeMario
good.
Davis.
I thought that, yeah, exactly. I thought that he's played pretty well. I feel like I've seen his downfield speed whenever he's kept up with running backs out the backfield. He's not a great starting linebacker, but he's a type of guy that you can definitely win a Super Bowl with.
Yeah.
Talking about guys that you might be able to win a Super Bowl with, and I think player here that Saints fans are looking at and kind of trying to feel out what's going on is Mark Ingram. And reading today from Joel Erickson, who him and Nick Underhill just killed on the Saints beat for the Advocate. But they were talking about how Mark Ingram is going to be skipping OTAs. That it's not related to his contract. He just wanted to do something different this offseason. One, Jason, while he's saying it's not contract-related, is it contract-related?
This is what I find funny, because they interviewed Ingram after the first day of minicamp when he showed up. And he's telling, in his interview, he's telling, this is something y'all made up, talking about the media. This is something y'all wanted to say, that I was having issues or problems with my contract. He's saying, oh, there's no problems with my contract. I just wanted to train on my own. Okay, that's fine. So all these lead orders and everything are wrong. That's fine. So when it comes to training camp and you don't show up, then we know you're going to be full of shit. So if it's about your contract, just say it's about your contract. So if it's not, then they're wrong. Okay, then play out your year and see what happens. Or hold out and get your contract and be a lying bastard. Either way, like, you know, your choice. But he's there. He's happy. He's bouncing around with Laura. So, I mean, looks good. He'll be gone for the first four games.
Right, and so, like that brings me pretty much to my next point. Like, I never would have suspected Mark Ingram to be popped for PEDs. You know, we've talked about it before in the podcast. He was one of the last few that I suspected to be popped. And so for that to happen is, like, surprising. And also, like, what the shit were you thinking, Mark? Like, oh, you know, I guess, you know, I've said it before. I guess that's where the whole angry Ingram thing came in. Like, he's just like in a steroid rage trying to run past people. So we knew that they were going to need to sign somebody. Now, we've talked about it before, who we want. We talked about it in chat before, who we want. And then news broke today, pretty much, that the Saints might have signed Terrence West. Now, we were talking about it before the show went on that it might not have happened. It looks like it might have happened. We don't know for certain. It might be they were talking to Shane Vereen, your boy. You were talking to Jamal Charles, which, you know, he might have something left in the tank. Who knows? But they're talking to guys that can be of service to him. All of that being said, man, if Terrence West is the dude, how comfortable do you feel having Terrence West backing up? Looks like Alvin Kamara, definitely. Boston Scott, Jonathan Williams, and that's it, right? Like
you got to bring somebody in. You're going to have to, because this team's notoriously, you know, known for carrying four running backs at least on their squad ever since ever since that year when literally they were just running out, they were just having injured running backs on a weekly basis just go on IR. So ever since then, Peyton has just always stocked up running backs. So from what I see, he worked out Jamaal Charles, passed the physical, but from what I'm reading, they weren't on the same page right now. So either that means that I don't get that. So either that means that you really just didn't want to go to camp and just wanted to be like, hey, if you need help, you can give me the playbook, I'll help you out. Or like, I don't get that. Like, what if he can't help you now, how's he gonna be of service to you later? But then they reached out to DeMarco Murray, but Little Miss Press didn't want to work out in a group full of running backs, so he turned down the workout. Terrence West.
Yeah,
who
are you? Yeah. You're an unemployed running back. I don't care when you had the NFL rushing title. I don't care if you've been the leader for the Dallas Cowboys or whoever else. But, dude, you're unemployed. How are you not jumping at opportunities to be a complimentary back to Alvin Kamara and possibly have a job as a third-down running back, change of pace back, whatever the hell, whenever Mark Ingram comes back? I'm failing to understand the mentality of an NFL running back who doesn't have a job right now and I guess is deciding that maybe if I wait for a starting running back to go down somewhere, that might be a better opportunity than signing on as a replacement level back for the first four games until something happens. I just understanding that is hard for me.
Well, it's like with him anyway, because he probably sees himself more of a Peterson type of player. So I can get that he probably doesn't want to go in this scheme. And honestly, I wouldn't want him in this scheme. He wouldn't fit in this scheme. Terrence West is honestly like a Mark Ingram clone. Now, Shane Vereen is like a Mark Ingram clone, but a little better out of the backfield catching. And that's saying a lot because Ingram's improved on that part of his game over the last two or three years. But you're going to need somebody because Ingram is going to be gone. So them signing or even trying all these running backs out in winter tells you that they think that the appeal that he filed is going to be just nothing. Just expecting to just miss him for the first four games. So you might as well get those four games out of the way instead of be like Ezekiel Elliott and keep pushing it and pushing it. And you also have Tim Hightower that went from another tryout to being invited back to minicamp. He's the guy where if you want to give him a call later, kind of like what you're talking about with Charles, I'd give Hightower a call because he knows this whole thing. He's familiar.
Yeah,
go ahead.
That's Mr. 3 yards. Like if you need 3 yards. Tim Hightower's going to get 3 yards.
All day. Maybe 3, even maybe 3.5 if you're lucky. You know,
yeah, right.
But he'll look like he's giving you 7 yards, but he'll give you 3. Like he moves so fast.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
Yeah, I remember watching him play, when was it, like a couple years ago? One or 2 years ago, and I'm like, oh, he's about to break it loose, and then he gets tackled. I'm like, are you serious, dude?
But there he goes. No. That's not good. But he's a good story, and he's a hard worker. So, I mean, if he can find a role on special teams, he'd be great to have in the locker room.
Oh, for sure. I don't mind Tim Hightower. There's about, 6 or 7 other guys that I would like ahead of him. But he'd be all right. You know, like I wouldn't hate on Hightower. My main concern, though, is that if the Saints sign somebody, I want the guy that they signed to be as much of a complimentary back as possible and not someone that's going to make Kamara have to shoulder the load three quarters of the time and only be spelled by them. You know what I'm saying?
Well, then also, you want somebody, so say you have, so say all the wrinkles are ironed out with Terrence West, and you got Terrence West in the fold. So you start, and honestly, I know Trey Edmonds played his heart out last year, and he made it through special teams onto the team. But you really want Ingram, Kamara, Scott, and West on your team. Scott, I was very impressed with Scott, and I was kind of talking with y'all to see, like, if he had a fumbling history, because he was the only running back out at camp that it was every guy on defense was trying to strip the ball from, like, at way after the play. Like, so it wasn't just, let's go through our strip drill or whatever for the defense. It was something in particular that they were doing with Scott, which I find was a little funny. They were having a lot of fun with it because they were even trying to get him as he was going back to the huddle.
I was wondering why, you sent that message in the chat, and I'm like, where is this coming from? Because, I've heard that, you know, he's a short dude. Being a short guy, you know, he might have tiny hands, like in the Burger King commercial where he can't hold. I can't hold a Whopper. I got tiny hands, which is a totally underrated commercial. But I thought maybe he might have had fumbling problems because that's kind of the Saints' MO, right? When it comes to drafting late round running backs, is that they're shifty, they have pretty good field vision. Good overall running back, can catch out the backfield, might be able to slip a tackle or two, but they've got fumble-itis, especially when it comes to them returning kicks. You know, like, they'll put them back there and, oh, shit, they can't hold on to the ball. So that's what I was wondering, like, what was going on with Boston Scott? So while I'm stuck in traffic today, I'm looking up the stats in college, like, trying to find out, all right, did this dude fumble a lot in college? Or what? Went to 3-4 different sites, and I found out on each of them, dude never had a fumble in college, which is pretty unreal to think of.
Yeah, they weren't going after Jonathan Williams or Lasco. I mean, not Lasco because Lasco wasn't practicing or Edmund. Like they weren't going after them play after play, like every time he had the ball. So that's why I was just wondering if it was maybe like a rookie thing or maybe just a him thing. But it seems like it was just for him. Maybe they're just getting him ready.
So that makes it sound like to me it's a little part of rookie hazing going on. You know, like he's got to be the shortest dude on the team by far, right?
Well, first of all, rookie hazing. If I was thinking about any rookie hazing, I'd have looked at somebody stealing Marcus Lattimore's Marshawn Lattimore's shorts because I kept sending y'all those pictures. I was just – and he was right in front of us. And they had, like, the crowd, all the old ladies were just yelling at him and catcalling him. And I'm just like, why is this man – he's in a girdle. Like, he's literally just in his girdle.
It looks like he was wearing booty shorts.
Yeah, like – it was like a girdle, but it was a loose girdle. You know what I'm saying? So I mean,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, man, I'm like, everybody else has the generic Florida League black shorts, and this dude running around in tidy whities. Like I freaked out. But I was showing. They had one time when he ran downfield with stride for stride with Kamara. That was fun. Seeing how fast they both really are, and also seeing that Lattimore's hamstring didn't, you know, help up going stride for stride with Kamara.
Yeah, that's that's encouraging. So also getting to a position that is one that I've got my eyes on, because after the first four positions, maybe there's a lot of competition for the last one, maybe two positions, and that's wide receiver. So been reading, like I said, in the Advocate, that Michael Thomas hasn't really been practicing in minicamp, that he's been missing, that nobody knows really what's up, but he's been showing up here and there, that it shouldn't really be a big deal. Did you see Michael Thomas at all in minicamp?
No, he was, we were looking for him. He wasn't out there at all, like not even in street clothes, nothing. And some of the other people that weren't practicing were still out there, jersey on. For example, Alex Okafor spent the entire practice over by himself, like past where the field goal kickers are, and just kind of did individual work with himself. And then, like, Marcus Davenport, he was out there the whole time. Mind you, he was also – he had surgery already, right?
I don't think so, no.
All right, because for some reason I thought he had surgery, because he was standing out there, no either even soft cast or wrap or anything around his hand. So I had thought he already had – they already took care of that. But yeah,
apparently he hasn't had it yet, and he's gonna have it after minicamp, and then that's gonna keep him sidelined for
a month
and a half. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So he's gonna be able to come back right before minicamp. Right before training camp, I should say.
Yeah. But the wide receivers, besides Thomas, like Thomas not being out there, Meredith didn't look like he was, you know, missing anything from when he was actually healthy with the Bears. Tommy Lee Lewis, still small, still fast. Brandon Coleman, still tall, still Brandon Coleman. Let's see.
How my boy Eldridge Mashington look? Because that's my dude right there.
He didn't get that much love in reps, but my boy Kirkwood got a lot of love, made a nice little grab from Breeze downfield, and I was, they didn't really have your boy out there for that. Mainly for blocking, for running plays, really. They had Kirkwood running the routes. Traquan Smith, they had him catching punts. He wasn't really in a lot of the offensive plays, which was interesting. Travon Darrell is probably an idiot. He probably won't make the team.
I'm surprised to hear that, man, because from reading about him from a couple different sources on Twitter, which is my main source of news since I'm stuck at work, so I got to log into Twitter and find out what's going on. Everywhere I've read and I've heard, even on the morning sports talk show here in Baton Rouge, I've heard that Travon Darrell is performing pretty damn well in training camp. So to hear the opposite, like, it makes my ears perk up, and I need to know more information.
Yeah, well, he missed a couple of balls. I mean, pretty decently throwing balls, and he kind of seemed like he wasn't really interested in, like, just seemed like more interested in just having fun than actually, like, learning his craft, I guess, if you want to say that, because he just really – I don't know, maybe it was just an off day. I don't know, maybe. But I wasn't really impressed with number 14. And I hate to say that,
so
but
tell
I was
so,
guy.
So tell me more about Keith Kirkwood. Why do you like him? What's going on with him? I'm sure a lot of our listeners don't know much about Mr. Kirkwood from Temple University. A little 6'3", 220-pound guy. It almost kind of makes it sound like this dude could compete for Brandon Coleman's spot.
He's got an interesting story. He was originally out of, let's see, I want to get everything right. At Temple, he starred, but he was he's a little on the slower side. But to be honest, if you look at any of his plays coming out of Temple, he never really got caught from behind once he was in front. I mean, it's got to say something about, you know, some people. But I mean, like, he's had a hell of an upbringing. I don't want to really get into specifics. I watched a YouTube video on it where he basically had to take care of his family at a very young age. And kind of that's why he had to move. I forget which college it was at first, but that's why he had to move to Temple, be closer to his family. And his skill set is just about as good as any receiver on this team not named Michael Thomas. I mean, he's got just about as much skill, just maybe a little slower step than Tre'Quan Smith, your third-round pick, which Tre'Quan, I don't know what they have in store for him. Maybe they have him and Boston Scott, you know, return duties this year. I didn't see much out of Tre'Quan Smith, but I'd love to see Keith Kirkwood make this team, or at least just get IR'd and redshirted, because that's what Mr. Sean Payton likes to do with wide receivers. He likes to do it with like two a year, just, you know, IR them, pay them, and see what they can do next year with them.
All right, so going into the season right now, you know, you got Michael Thomas pegged, Cameron Meredith pegged, Tre'Quan Smith pegged. Like, those are going to be your top three guys. So then you've got Ted Ginn. The Saints usually carry five wide receivers on the roster. Sometimes six, but it's rare. So are you looking to see somebody maybe supplant Ted Ginn, maybe make him expendable? Or are you looking to see the Saints carry maybe six wide receivers this year and only like three running backs instead of four?
Yeah, you have Thomas, you'll have Meredith, you'll have Smith. You want the other young receivers to perform well so you can make Ginn expendable, so you can recoup some picks for next year. Not saying he's going to give you a huge windfall back, but you're at a roster level now and you have young players coming up where you can trade the older players and get those extra fourth-rounders, fifth-rounders, sixth-rounders, you know, that help you move up in the draft, and you'll still have a fourth-rounder, still have a fifth-rounder, because they love to move up in the draft, so you might as well get enough ammo to move up every damn year. So the receivers at that point, they really only carry four receivers active weekly. And you wouldn't think so. It's rare. They'll carry a fifth if you count Tommy Lee Lewis. But mostly it's four active receivers at a time. And you'll have those three we mentioned. And you have, if you have Ginn step up or become expendable, either way, that's a solid four receivers right there. You have a lot of young talent at receiver right now that you can kind of just want to hope that they make Ginn expendable. And it's the receiver position this year isn't as dramatic as years before because you have Thomas there. You have, and it's not like years before because we're more aimed towards running backs now on this team and Kamara and Ingram instead of, you know, having Colston, Moore, Devery, all these receivers, you know. It's just a shift in philosophy, so you're not going to have what you had before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of interesting to see how the whole team's kind of being constructed now. It used to be that we'd concentrate on defense. You know, we'd wonder, like, how is everybody looking on defense? And we weren't worried about the offense. Now it's kind of shifted. I know that we talked about the tight ends. We talked about the wide receivers. Talked about the running backs. So we all know that Drew Brees is going to be, that's my quarterback. But we don't know who's going to be his backup this year. We got excited whenever JT Barrett was signed as a priority undrafted free agent. We know we signed Tom Savage, but Taysom Hill, who has been getting rave reviews from everybody.
What's his name?
He's called Taysom, but I call him Yaysom Hill because that's what everybody is clamoring about, because whenever he has the ball in his hands, he makes the crowd go yay. So Yaysom Hill, I need to know how he looked. I need my daily injection of Taysom Hill news into my veins, Jason. Give it to me and give it to me strong.
Oh, you're going to be happy, because on the first day of minicamp, he didn't look that accurate. Today, the play broke down a couple times, and you can see his wheels, like, he fast. He got them slave feet. He fast. Because they broke down a play, and he just rolled to the right, and he ran. And, yeah, he was fast. But he threw a couple balls that he seems to be more accurate throwing towards the sideline and maybe like 10 yards. Like those intermediate routes, he was a little behind on, but has a chance to put a little air under it. You can see it's a pretty ball he throws. I was impressed with JT Barrett. He throws a nice little ball. The person that looked like a rookie the most was Savage. Like, I'd rather have sorry for saying this. I'd rather have the corpse of Randy Savage out there wearing number 12.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. He was missing okay, so it sounds bad, but he's playing quarterback like he still has feeling concussion effects from last year. Like, that's what he looked like. He's missing on like 3 yard dump passes. Like, how are you trying to overthrow that? And then he's throwing a ball to, I forget which receiver it was, but it wasn't a tall one, and he's throwing it like this guy's 6'8". I wanted to just tap him on the shoulder and be like, you know, we don't have DeAndre Hopkins here, right? You know, nobody can jump out of the ceiling over here. You actually got to be accurate on this team, like, you know. But also that little guy that we've been having for a while, number 9, he looked pretty good. He looked really good. Just saying, he's going to have a bright future ahead of him.
I've heard that he might be okay. That he might be a keeper.
Yeah,
I've heard that he's wearing a different helmet.
There was a quarterback named number 12, and I kept calling him Tommy, Tommy. You're not the right Tommy. Oh man. He didn't like that. He didn't like that. Everybody was wearing different colored caps on the head except for Morstead. And then and so he didn't like the yelling out of Tommy. Okay. And somebody had a sign. This is a tangent, but okay. Somebody had a sign. I saw the Eric Wood. I think that's the long snapper's name. I saw his fan club, all two of them, holding up a sign. And then the same fan club were apparently Kurt Coleman's fan club. Don't know how that is connected, but
that's interesting.
Yeah, no, they were about it. Yeah. Dudes walked around, signed everything from jerseys to chests. No, I'm just playing. He didn't sign a chest, or did he? Was it mine? I don't know. I didn't have anything to sign. Mind your business. Next question.
Hey, look, I'm not here to judge your personal business, bro. But again,
hey,
if I am, you know what? So what? I'm gonna be proud of my boy.
Yeah. Hashtag do sign my chest. Not just saying. No, he didn't. Maybe. Okay. But it was a really interesting group of quarterbacks. Like Taysom Hill looks like, all right, so this is going to sound maybe interesting to you, or you're probably going to tell me to shut the hell up. So he reminds me, even his like getting to the NFL late and everything, and the way he plays, throws, runs, he reminds me of Jeff Garcia.
Word.
Now, I'm not saying he's going to, you know, ball out like Jeff Garcia. I'm just saying that's what it kind of reminds me, like the whole getting late started to your NFL career, just the way he's mobile and the way he throws the ball, his body frame and the way he, like, you know, everything. It just screams Jeff Garcia. And if you can get
I was a big fan of Jeff Garcia whenever he was in the
league. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. If you can get that out of your air to Drew Brees, which is a solid Pro Bowler, I mean, I'd be happy with that and not having to draft a guy.
Absolutely.
And maybe have JT Barrett as his backup.
Absolutely. I'm here for that.
Yeah.
And really, man, like the only other thing that we've covered minicamp pretty damn well. The only other thing that I can really say that we've got to talk about is really a couple more things. So there was an article that came out the other day that Drew Brees went ahead and admitted that he is cash poor. He doesn't have much money left on hand, cold hard cash, doesn't have much left because he's invested in Jimmy John's and walk-ons and pyramid schemes, and now he's chasing blood diamonds. Jason, does this make you question Drew Brees' on-field decision-making coming up this year?
Oh, man. It makes me question all the things with Drew Brees, because he's got to get it together, man. I don't know what's going on with old number 9. Like you're supposed to leave
the team?
This
is ridiculous. I get that you want to do pyramid schemes and everything. You want to make more money. You want to invest in restaurants.
Why can't
you know, have
just
something
be like
to fall 50 back
cent
on?
And get a water company?
Yeah, for real. Like 50 Cent did investments the best because he learned from the board game Monopoly. You get the utilities.
Yeah.
You always have that income.
Yep. Yeah, just get water, man. And see, His okay, so he's cash poor. Tell me about that when you get your $1.25 million check per week. Okay, it's coming up. Don't worry about it. It's coming in July. You won't be cash poor anymore. And secondly, you have Jimmy John, the Sentinel, walk on the Sentinel. What else the hell does he own? He owns something else. You have all that stuff coming back to you. You have profitable checks coming back to you. Like, get out of here saying you're cash poor. Why? Because you don't carry $1,000 in your pocket now? It's just $500? Sorry. Sorry, Drew. It was just eating the Milky Way. Sorry.
And also, it looks like the full court press is being put on LeBron James to come to New Orleans. Now, I know we have a pod planned, hopefully with our basketball expert coming up soon, where we're going to discuss Pelicans offseason plans. But I just posted in the chat that some of the billboards popping up around New Orleans, you know, they're taking the famous saying, what is a LeBron time Roué, and making it, what is a LeBron time Roué. So really trying to put the full court press on LeBron James to come to New Orleans to play with Anthony Davis, play with Drew Holiday, maybe even Nico. Out of from 0 to 100, what do you give their percentage of chances that LeBron James is going to come to New Orleans?
All right, first of all, I love you, but that's a fake billboard. ESPN put it.
No, don't you? Why are you shitting on my dreams right here?
Look, I'm going to tell you, it's a very good chance this MF-er comes over here. Because, one, all right, you don't want to go over with the 76ers because you still don't know how many fake Twitter accounts they have, okay? Two, you don't want to have to deal with Lonzo and Kuzma and with their lame diss tracks and Twitter battles. It's like D'Angelo and Nick Young all over again. Well, no one want to go there. What else we got to go to? San Antonio, nah. Like, yeah, I love Pop, but look, bro, Kawhi don't like you. There's some reason why people are leaving. I don't know. The market sucks. Don't want to go there. Anyways, what's the next one? Who's the next one? Dallas, Houston. Don't want to go to Texas. Texas is weird, bro. They don't like black people that much. Just saying. So, what I'm saying is, New Orleans, bro. You want to go piss off the Warriors? Go in that division. I mean, go in that conference. Team up with AD, with Rondo, with Drew. If you want to talk Boogie into coming and joining that fivesome, okay? And you can make it work with them five, get Nico out of there, whatever. If you wanted to make it work and pay the luxury tax, you'd make it work with all five of them. And those five, I'd put up against Steph, Clay, KD,
yep.
Dre,
yep.
And
yep.
That mystery five, which would be our advantage. So I'd have Rondo smothering Steph, okay, Drew smothering Clay. You get LeBron against KD again. I'll take AD against Dre. All day, and then who do they have against Boogie?
I mean, if
Boogie's
they don't, if somehow the Pels don't re-sign Boogie, then and the Warriors decide to play their death lineup, then that means Andre Iguodala against somebody, whether Nico, whether Solomon Hill. I mean, somebody. I guess that would be your X factor matchup then.
Yeah, you'd have Iggy against LeBron. You'd have AD against
KD.
Yeah, more than likely. And then Draymond against maybe Nico.
Maybe. Yeah, that'd be an interesting battle.
That, or maybe you can get maybe a cheap Nerlens Noel.
Maybe.
And get him in there.
Or Ed Davis, or possibly even pull off a trade
for
Al Jefferson.
Get out of here with the Ed Davis. Okay. Al Jefferson's cool. He's old school, and his last name is way longer than his first name, so we can rock with that.
Yeah, I would like to see an Al Jefferson Draymond Green matchup.
It sounds like he's a sitcom character from the early 90s.
It does. It sounds like he's like George Jefferson's cousin.
Oh, yes.
And he needs to show up in the apartment, and he like cleans the vents or something like that.
Yeah, and he just shoots hoops in the apartment. Just has like free throws clank off and just hit the TV.
Yep.
Ding. Yeah, all day.
So, man, that pretty much does it for me. I don't really have anything else. There really isn't much going on right now.
Hey, Will's been on hold for like 4 minutes.
Oh, word.
Hey, there he is.
Thanks for recognizing me.
Hey, you should have sent us something in the chat, bro.
Oh, I'm sorry. But,
sorry is just not going to cut it right now.
Sorry's not going to cut it.
Well, when does sorry ever cut it? I mean, it's the best I can say.
You're an
it's
idiot.
The best I can do.
I'll tell you that now.
Yeah, I mean, you're not the first person to tell me that, so I'm used to it.
I love you.
Well, I love you too. So it sounded like y'all were talking about the possibility of LeBron to the Pelicans.
Yeah, this was a precursor to
LeBron James.
Yeah, and I prefaced it with saying that we're going to address this in our big Pelicans off-season podcast that we're going to have planned with hopefully the basketball expert Trey, maybe sometime in the near future. But I just kind of wanted to get the thoughts on it real quick, because that is one of the biggest headlines right now, is that LeBron James is going to be a free agent. So
yep.
What's going to happen? Is he going to come to New Orleans? What's the best destination that he could go to? You know, these are questions that I'm going to ask in a different pod.
Sure.
So,
can I answer?
Yes.
And then we got to do the Man Crush Monday, even though it's Wednesday. Just because, y'all don't have to do it. Like, it can just be me, but, you know, I have to crush on a man who's living his best life right now. But anyway.
We can do Whoa Man Crush Wednesday.
Oh. All right, well, let me answer the question first. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, there's... It's kind of weird with LeBron, because the reality is any team he goes to automatically becomes like 10 times better than they were before. And so in a certain sense, like, he can almost just choose to go wherever he wants, wherever he wants to go that he thinks it would be fun to make a winner and he might enjoy life a little more. I think that's why, probably one of the reasons that the Lakers are getting so much hub is a possible destination. It's also the reason why one of the reasons why I honestly think he stays in Cleveland. Because I just think he realizes after the Miami fiasco that, and years of maturing and all that, and even what he said when he came back to Cleveland, just about, loyalty to the city and coming back after, like, going away to college. It was kind of what the Miami experience was like. And so I think he just knows and realizes it would be a real kind of dark spot on his legacy if now he decides to leave Cleveland. Unless it's to a situation, I mean, the only way I think he can get away with it and not kill his legacy is if he were to go somewhere where he had a chance to kind of mentor maybe some younger players.
Like Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. He's not going to Milwaukee. He's not going to Milwaukee. You could even say Boston.
Hold on.
Okay.
How can you just so easily dismiss him going to Milwaukee and playing with the Greek Freak?
Because it's Milwaukee.
That's all.
Boo!
They just beat your Cubbies 2 out of 3 games.
That has nothing to do with the city of Milwaukee, though.
That does, man. All those beer drinkers and sausage eaters were rooting so damn hard for the Brewers. They managed to beat the Cubs just with their beer and sausage breath alone.
But you put
LeBron next to Giannis Alphabet, and they're winning ball games.
Hey, that's his name? Giannis Alphabet?
Yep. It's a true story. Look it up.
Hashtag. Oh, man.
That's a great nickname.
You're pretty on fire with these nicknames right now. I'm just going to say that, man. I'm going to give you props. I'm gonna give you a little.
Thank you. I literally just bowed.
See,
just took my
card. That's what we do here. So we go to Man Crush Monday.
So speaking of LeBron, and this kind of brings me back to the Pelicans, because LeBron, Pelicans, see the connection there, and it's perfect.
Yeah.
I saw this rumor. And so I want to bring this up before we can get to our Whoa Man Wednesday.
Yeah.
each offseason, after the Warriors decide they're going to just kick the ever-loving crap out of the opposition in the NBA Finals and just leave every basketball fan bored to death, they decide that they want to go after one of the biggest names in basketball. And the biggest name this offseason seems to be Anthony Davis and the Warriors' interest in Anthony Davis. Will, because you just came on, and because you're a closet Warriors fan, I need to find out, what do you think of the Warriors trying to effectively kill the NBA by going after Anthony Davis?
So I'm going to answer that in two ways because of the way you worded the question. So, I mean, one, like, if their goal is...
Did we just lose Will?
Oh, he went
to the league and the... I don't know where I dropped off, so I'll just dramatically say what I said again.
I thought maybe a young lady walked up and hollered at you and you put us on mute. So, oh, look, there's no judgment here. My mind's going for the best possible scenario.
That's what happened in my mind.
Let's just go with that then, okay? The first answer to that question, though, is if that's what the Warriors are trying to do, if they're trying to effectively, you know, take over the NBA, then good for them. Like, that's what single franchise should be doing, and that's up to the league, and it's up to the other 20, what is it? There's 30 teams in the NBA, right? So it's up to the other 29 teams to not play them. So, you know, every team should be trying to do that. But here's the thing. I don't buy the rumors one bit. I don't think, I mean, of course, if the Pelicans were stupid and just were like, yeah, you want Anthony Davis? Of course they're going to say yes. But I don't think the Warriors are actively pursuing it. That I don't buy the rumors. I think they're more likely to actively pursue LeBron than they are to actively pursue Anthony Davis. But those are just my thoughts.
Yeah. To those rumors, I say...
Anybody care about what I want?
I do.
Shut up. Get out.
Shut up. Get out. Those rumors.
Yep. Yep. Get right out of town. So that's going to bring us, because we're touching up, we're rubbing noses onto a little over an hour here on the show. So we're going to start wrapping things up here. Our Woe Man Crush Wednesday. Will, I know you're very excited about doing this, so I'm going to have you start. Jason, I want you to prepare. I want you to think. I don't want you to concentrate.
Yeah.
On who your man is. And who's your man this week? I want you to think about it while Will talks in very pleasing tones about who his man crush is in either homoerotic or hetero love mate vocal tuning. I'm not one to judge. If you feel a certain way about a man, hey, you know what? This is 2018. You're not judging anymore.
I'm laughing mostly at the fact that you think Jason can concentrate. Like, that's hilarious to me.
Man, see this guy.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean,
you're welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. So, I mean, if you've listened to our show at all the last 2 months or whatever, since the Stanley Cup playoffs started, I've been, you know, maybe not so quietly trying to talk about the Washington Capitals any chance I got. And that all goes, the reason I even care about the Capitals was because 13 years ago, Alex Ovechkin as a rookie came into the league and was like one of the most exciting rookies the NHL had seen in, you know, probably since Tamer Solani, and before that probably since Gretzky himself. So,
How dare you not mention Mario Lemieux?
I was going to say Super Mario.
Sorry. That was an oversight. My bad.
That's Pittsburgh bias, Will, and we will not stand for that.
Well, whatever. I don't care. I hate all things Pittsburgh now. I used to have just like a small appreciation for the Pirates, and that's totally gone now too. But anyway.
Well, that's all right. The City of Champions appreciates your hate.
What?
And we want you to get like us. Well, really.
Okay. Well, the Capitals did get like y'all this just a little over about a week ago now.
Did you win back-to-back Lord Stanley Cups? No.
Hey, you have to win one before you can win back-to-back, so shut up.
That's true. True story.
That's basic math, friend.
I don't have any time for that.
We don't know the hard.
Y'all didn't do that segment, right?
No.
What? This is hard segment? No, we didn't. That's for the other pod.
Okay.
That's for the after night pod.
that's for the after talk pod.
That's Jason's baby, right?
I'm going to break out the Barry White voice.
So Alex Ovechkin, you know, has, you know, I think even if you hate the Capitals like Jordan, I think appreciate his play over the course of his 13-year to date career, and appreciate that he's certainly one of the greats and one of the two best players in this generation. At the least, I think anyone can admit that.
And yeah, him and Crosby.
Yeah, and yet him and the Capitals have until this year just absolutely fallen apart at the worst possible moments in the playoffs in the first 12 years of his career. And this year something was different. And it's hard to really put a finger on it, but, I mean, he stepped up. You know, he scored a goal in Game 7, scored several other, I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but scored several other goals in the series. You know, and then other things, just even just like his physical play and taking the body and playing better defense. And just the leadership he showed as the captain of that team was, I think, definitely a big reason why the Capitals won and won in 5 games, which was a little bit surprising.
Yeah, I think the reason was that the stars just aligned perfectly so that you faced a expansion team in the Stanley Conference Finals.
Hey, man, thing about my Golden Knights.
In one sense, I'm not going to disagree with you.
I'm giving a lot of crap to the team that,
yeah.
I would say one of the teams I hate the most. And probably all of sports. So it's really hard for me to contain the hate and not let it flow out. Let it out. I mean, that's what Clarence Bigsby taught me. I have enjoyed the Caps just and their exuberance with the Stanley Cup and what they're doing
and
to celebrate and everything.
That's the man crush part of it, really, is especially Ovechkin. Like, and it's so and it's such a good counter if you think about it to, you know, because you have the Capitals win the Stanley Cup on Thursday night, and the next night the Warriors win the NBA Finals. I don't know if y'all caught this, but there was a stark difference in the way those two teams celebrated. You know, within sight of the cameras. And so that's one reason why I'm kind of over the NBA. But
this is kind of something that I wanted to ask both y'all, but I wanted to ask more people if we would have Andreas or Trey or even Tony join us. But I want to ask you this to kind of end the show after Jason and I wrap up our Woe Man Crush Wednesday. Jason, who do you have for your Man Crush Wednesday here?
I was gonna go with Ovechkin, but I was going to go with it more of the week of partying afterwards. But I'm going to go actually with, like, one of the best things I've seen in sports in a long time. And I don't remember the exact state it was in. Excuse me. But I'm sure you guys have seen it by now. It was, a Minnesota high school baseball game where they were going, the winner goes to the state final. Well, a pitcher was pitching a 3-hit shutout, and last batter up, bottom of the ninth, or top, whatever, And it's his best friend at the plate, and he strikes his best friend out looking, and instead of immediately celebrating with his teammates, he kind of shrugs off his catcher, walks up to his friend, consoles him, gives him a hug, kind of walks him a little bit to his you know, about halfway to his dugout, and then joins his team to celebrate. And it comes to find out that he kind of said some, like, grown man stuff to him, like, immediately, like, hey, this game means nothing compared to our friendship. And just the stuff that I heard listening to the Rich Eisen show, it would just sound like this kid was just, like, well beyond his years. And in that moment to, like, instead of immediately celebrating you going to the high school final, the tournament, you know, the finals, like, you immediately go and console your best friend, saying, don't worry about that. Our friendship's going to last a whole lot longer than this feeling, this game, any of this will ever be. So that is probably that's my man crush. That has been the best thing I've seen in sports in a long time.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I saw that, and I thought it was awesome. I saw it on Twitter, and I immediately retweeted it. I thought that was just – that's what sports is about. It's the sportsmanship. It's the relationships. It's the camaraderie that you build while playing sports. So I'm going to go ahead. My man crush Wednesday, my woe – and crush Wednesday isn't sports related at all. Friday morning was like any other morning over here. We woke up early to kind of start our morning routine. Woke our girls up to get them dressed. I put the coffee pot on to start making coffee. Woke up my youngest to feed her a bottle. Put on the news. And while I'm watching the news, they had breaking news. And they reported that Anthony Bourdain was found dead in France from an apparent suicide. My mouth just fell wide open at the news of that. He was a man that I respected, whose books I read, whose shows I watched, his multiple shows I watched. He was a man that almost commanded respect from his brutally honest truths. He didn't kowtow to anybody. He stood up for what he believed in, what he believed was right, wasn't afraid to call somebody on the shit, and was just a man that you wanted to have a beer with and just talk about the world with. He showed a lot of places and a lot of people that I will never go and never deal with, but he always humanized them and didn't make himself feel superior to anybody. He's a man that it wasn't the meal you ate, but the meal you shared, but the person you shared that meal with was important. So the world lost an ambassador last Friday, and I just wanted to give a shout out to him, to what he did for everyone that watched him. If I haven't seen people united in mourning more so than whenever Prince died. And so that would show you the impact that Anthony Bourdain had. It's a tough loss, and it's one that, like, I didn't know how much he meant to me until, like, even to this day, where I'm still like, it sucks. Like, I'm never going to see, like, any new episodes of his shows. You know, I loved watching shows, and one that I recommend that if you have Netflix, put it on Parks Unknown, watch the Mississippi episode. It's not a foreign episode at all, but it's it really gets to the root of who Anthony Bourdain was because of the in-depth, intricacies that the state of Mississippi has had throughout its past and up into its future. So that's my man crush. And not to end this show on a sad note, I want to try to end this show on a more introspective note. And this goes all the way back to Will's man crush. And Alex Ovechkin finally raising the Stanley Cup. This would be a topic of conversation for all the rundown, but because I have us three, the core three here, I want to put this to you. And Will, you're going to go first.
Yeah.
If you were to win any championship in sports, whether in American sports, whether it be the NBA Finals, whether it be the Super Bowl, whether it be the World Series, or the Stanley
mm-hmm.
Cup, and you could only win one, which one would you win?
Yeah. You know, part of that's going to come down to, like, what's your favorite sport, you know, or which one would you want to, would you consider your favorite to play, right? But then another part of the conversation is, you know, like, what is the greatest achievement, or what is the greatest trophy? I think the greatest trophy in sports is without a doubt the Stanley Cup. You know, there's no trophy that is given out aside from that one that gets people excited the way the Stanley Cup does. So, I mean, maybe it's because it's fresh, but I probably would go with the Stanley Cup just because of the way that particular trophy and that particular championship is held in esteem and kind of the aura surrounding it.
Jason.
You want me to go? Yeah, hoisting maybe the Lombardi Trophy would be nice, or maybe even the World Series Trophy would be nice. I would only say Stanley Cup Trophy because I would want to do what Ovechkin did with it all week long. But I'm going to go a different route. I'm going to go an individual route. And just because of the mystique that this title, this moniker really used to carry for probably about 70 or so years, I'd want to win the heavyweight championship. Like,
in wrestling?
The one that, like, Ali had, Foreman had. What'd you say?
I said the WWE heavyweight championship?
No, not that one. I'm talking about, like, a boxing one. I see where you would think that. I'm talking about the actual one. Yeah, because that thing hasn't been worth a damn in a while, actually.
No, I'll tell you on that one.
They literally just handed Lesnar a record for not showing up. But it's cool.
Yep.
So
yeah, we'll have that on our wrestling pod.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm talking about the one that Ali won, that Foreman won, that Tyson won. I'm talking about when it used to be like, you walking around as heavyweight champion of the world meant something. Like, that's what it's getting back to that point with Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder just signing
yeah,
up
sure.
to fight. So, you better keep your eyes peeled to that sucker.
So,
I still hate boxing though.
I've had this debate, and really it's internally, and it's boiled down to two, and struggling with two of them.
Mm-hmm.
One of them's the Stanley Cup. The other one's the Heisman Trophy. Which one would I want to win? Which one carries the most prestige? You know, one's an individual trophy, one's more of a team trophy. And I feel that out of all of sports, the grueling nature of the playoffs, and one that you just be most exuberant in lifting at the end of competition, and to me that's the Stanley Cup. And I know that that comes with me being a fan of hockey, of watching the playoffs, of seeing my team lift three in the past 9 years, but watching how hard it is to play hockey and watching hits, watching how tough it is to be on the ice and skate all those minutes and get punished on all those cross checks and forechecks and seeing just how damn difficult it is to win one singular Stanley Cup trophy. And you're watching that now with the Washington Capitals. How happy they are, how ecstatic they are to go around, and even weeks after they've already won it, they're still going around to baseball games and to basketball games and to whatever to drink out of the cup, to have beers with the cup, to just show the cup off and how proud they are. You don't see that with people with the Larry O'Brien trophy, even with the Lombardi trophy. You don't see anybody doing anything like that except with the Stanley Cup. And to me, that's what makes the Stanley Cup special. That's what makes the hockey playoffs the best damn playoffs that there are, followed only by the NCAA tournament playoffs, because it is such a crapshoot. And who's going to win?
Can I say a number two for me would be like just cutting down nets at the NCAA tournament. Like that's, to me, that's just so cool. Like it's just something about it. Like
My number two actually would have been the green jacket that you would win at the Masters.
All right, Happy Gilmore.
The green jacket is pretty cool. Like that, I mean, that is really.
Yeah.
Cool.
I was thinking of that too.
Yeah, like that. That's such a cool prize at the end of it, but it's such an individual achievement.
Yeah. Which one's the ugliest? Like, which one's the ugliest trophy to you? Just off the top of your head. And then we can roll.
I think the World Series trophy is like pretty ugly.
Yeah,
probably. That's probably unfair.
I'd probably say
fair one.
Or like getting a plate for Wimbledon. Like, really?
Oh, yeah, that's terrible. That's terrible. Yeah. I didn't even think about
like,
Wimbledon.
Hey,
that's
win,
awful.
Mom? Hey, I want a plate.
I want a plate, right. And we can put it into China closet.
That's the best
We'll serve the Thanksgiving turkey on it. It's going to be great.
Surprised nobody said an Olympic medal either.
Yeah, that's terrible. Like, we're winning medals here. I'd much rather win the spinning belt in WWE than a medal.
Oh, no. 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 We don't speak of that.
Yeah, we're talking about spinning medals, man.
Oh, man. No, we got to end it on that.
Yeah, I think we are. So that is this episode of the No Rundown. We might have another one coming at you later on if our schedules sync up, another Culture Cast. But so stay tuned for that. But for me, peace.
And that's the way the news goes.